Hey, Spittin' Chiclets listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Experience your drives in 10K with the all-new QI10 Max driver from our friends at TaylorMade. QI10 Max is the most forgiving driver TaylorMade has ever made, with 10K MOI for maximum stability and forgiveness at impact. More forgiveness means more long and straight drives, even on off-center strikes. The days of missing the fairway are numbered. Shop QI10 Max, QI10, and QI10 LS drivers. Plus, schedule a custom fitting at TaylorMadeGolf.com.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
Buddy, welcome to episode 402 of Spittin' Chiclets, presented by Pink Whitney, from our friends at New Amsterdam Vodka here in the Barstool Sports Podcast family. Hopefully everybody out there is enjoying their summer vacations as we are. Hopefully you all enjoyed Scott Parker last week. Tremendous interview. And hopefully you enjoy our new merch that our buddy Grinnell.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bar, bring up a shot or two. Maybe throw some club soda in there like I do. Either way, Pink Whitney. Enjoy it. And now, enjoy 2004 Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Brad Richards. Okay, it's time to bring on our guest. This Prince Edward Island native was taken by Tampa Bay in the third round of the 1998 draft and would go on to play 15 NHL seasons. In his fourth season, he was an instrumental part of the Lightning's first ever Stanley Cup, winning the Conn Smythe Trophy with 26 points in 23 games, including a still-record 7-game-winning goals. After stints in Dallas and here in New York, where he went to another Stanley Cup final, he won a second Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks in 2015. These days, he's enjoying the summer and life, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the Spittin' Chiclets podcast, Brad Richards. Brad Richards, how are you doing, Brad?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, boys.
Absolutely. Where's home for you these days? I know you bounced around a bit during your career.
We're down in Jupiter, North Palm Beach area.
Oh, where are you playing down there? This guy's a golf aficionado, people at home. I'm just curious. That's all my questions.
Playing with your buddy Jens at the Slaughterhouse.
Oh, Jesus, the Grove, yeah. People who don't know. I left a lot of money there in MJ's pockets, like he really needed
his
it.
His cigar
too.
Budget. 20K, that's his weekly cigar budget. I heard that course is awesome in a sense you don't need to drive it too far, but the minute you go over maybe 280 yards, those fairways they start narrow in to kind of help MJ out to carve out his type of game.
You got to be careful with Wayne and Janet too. They take you down pretty quick. Janet putts like a tour pro.
I heard she chisels everybody on the handicaps as well, and that's how she's able to sandbag you.
Yeah, there's a lot of arguing going on for handicaps. Yeah.
That's when you know things get dangerous. Wayne mentioned that to me too. He's like, Janet likes the action. She's the one that wants to get in the action here. So I guess that'd be a hell of a sandbagger competition for us. But
now sticking with golf, I think I saw you in a picture recently with Justin Leonard. Is he still on the PGA?
Yeah, he's just turned 50, so he's going on the Champions Tour.
Oh, really?
We were down. Brad Faxon had us down at Pine Valley a couple weeks ago. So they're buddies. I guess they work together on like Golf Channel. I don't know. Well, they've played together probably forever too.
So, I mean, Witt here, he's been a golf psycho ever since he retired. Were you a player like while you were still playing in the NHL? Were you that good, or was it when you retired you finally had the time to develop your skills and become basically a scratch golfer?
Well, I got drafted to Tampa, so days off here. you know, the older guys were going golfing. So I just figured you better get somewhat decent at this or you're going to start losing a lot of money. Not that we didn't go anything crazy, but you still, you know, you could, if you had a bad day. So like Dave Anderchuk played every day back, those guys, Tim Taylor. So me and Marty and Vinny and Freddie Modine, and we always played as much as we could. So then in Dallas, obviously a bunch of nutcases there that love golf. So Medano and
Morrow's good, Turco, right?
Yeah. They played, you know, every chance they got. So, yeah, I got into it a lot. And then, now in retirement, moving down here has been nice. Get around a lot of golf.
What's that course? I heard in Madonna was talking about it in Dallas that Morrow was a member at as well. It's like a men's club, and they said the one rule was you had to wear clothes in the clubhouse because Mickey Mantle used to walk through the buffet line with just a towel on his cock hanging out.
Yeah, Preston Trail.
Preston Trail.
He would just sit naked the whole time.
The Mick.
I feel like Texas is the type of place you can get away with. Was it no women members, or were there women in this clubhouse looking staring at his cock?
I'm guessing this was a no women member club.
Yeah. I think it still is, but I better be careful what I say. I'm not sure.
We'll somehow get in trouble for this.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
going back to your time in Tampa, I would imagine you did some fishing considering you grew up in PEI, and I was reading that your father was a lobster fisherman, and he kept being a lobster fisherman during your entire NHL career.
Yeah. This is his first year. He's done it since he was, I think he was a little 14 years old. My grandfather said, you're not going to school anymore. We need you on the boat. And he's 68 this year. And this is his first time he sold everything and retired.
So, wow. No way. Did you get sick of lobster as a kid growing up? Just having it around
never,
all the time.
No.
Good answer.
No, I love it.
Did you ever work?
Problem is you can't eat it anywhere else.
It's no good for you anywhere else.
No, it's awful the way they do it, but it's great when you get it fresh off the boat that morning.
How do you prefer it? Steamed?
I like it cold. Okay. Yeah, steamed, but then I like to put it in the fridge for a while and then eat it like later cold. Like,
did you ever go on the boat with him to get the experience, or did he make you work for him like his father did to him?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he knew he knew that he wanted me in a different situation, so he didn't push me too much. He was a good help getting me away from home and into a good high school out at Notre Dame, and so I had a chance maybe to get a, you know, go to college or something. But yeah, he knew that was going to be a tough, you know, there's a lot of people to do it, but it's not a fun May 1st at 3:30 in the morning, could be -5 with snow flying, so it's not a great way to wake up and start the day sometimes.
He saw him get probably seasick and just go shoot 4 million pucks when they got off the boat. He's like, all right,
exactly.
I think he's gonna be okay.
Speaking of that, growing up in such a small town, did you play your minor hockey for your hometown, or did you have to travel quite a bit in order to continue to grow your game and play against caliber talent?
Yeah, I mean, I left home in ninth grade, 14, so it was getting, you know, I grew up in a town of literally 250 people. So we had a rink kind of between like six towns like that. And we had 11 players, one goalie and 10 kids the same age. And dad coached us. And we actually won the Atlantic Championships in Pee Wee.
You played 48 minutes.
I literally played both. He put me on defense for the last like 6 minutes of the game. just tell me not to come up. So obviously it was time to go test myself against some different players. So I went out to Notre Dame, and then, you know, that's when I kind of figured, okay, I can play with other people around the country too. So
yeah. So you ended up going there with Le Cavalier. Had you met him before going off to school? Like, I don't know how the draft worked in the queue at that time. So had you been drafted?
We were younger.
Okay.
No, we were younger. Yeah. No, we were roommates. I met him when I put my luggage on top bunk, and he was nestled into the bottom bunk. Yeah, that's how we met. Day one.
I think a lot of people, at least out east, like I knew about Shattuck, but Notre Dame is pretty similar, right? I mean, I know it's in Canada, but in terms of like the whole prep school hockey experience, but what teams would you play it's in Saskatchewan?
Well, yeah, that's the difference. You'd play like regular Bantam and midget teams or tier two teams. So like we had a pretty stacked team, and they didn't really recruit you, but we had guys from all over the place, so we weren't allowed to actually win the Saskatchewan Bantam AAA League. We could play in it, but we weren't allowed to, like, we had to play against midget teams or up and stuff like that. But it was great. We'd go to Calgary, Vancouver, you know, he'd play all those, played tons of guys I ended up seeing again in the NHL over the years. But yeah, it was a great experience, obviously. And then we got drafted later to the Quebec League. He got drafted and that went and it convinced me to go play in Rimouski with him the year later.
So there's no thought at that point of college for you, or was there like, all right, maybe I'll play college?
No, hockey. I was really leaning towards Michigan. I think it was like 3 weeks before I could start doing that, you know, in 11th grade. Yeah. It's like July. I don't know what
the rules are. July 1st.
No. So like it was June 8th or something, the Quebec League draft. So it was kind of like a decision. But Vinny kind of talked me into it, and not really many English players would go to Rimouski at that point. I was kind of the first. So we had to work out how we were going to do school and got me a tutor. And then obviously it worked. And then more, you know, Sid ended up going there. But it was kind of like no one really did that as an English player. It's a very, very French town. So, but it helped to have Vinny there to get me through.
Okay, before we go any further, here's a word from my friends at Shopify. Shopify is the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Shopify offers online retailers a suite of services including payments, marketing, shipping, and customer engagement tools. Connect with your customers, drive sales, manage your day-to-day. Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods. Shopify also has thousands of integrations and third-party apps, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. Go to shopify.com/chicklets, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/chicklets right now.
Were you hyper-focused on hockey all the way coming up, or was that your first experience of where it almost felt like a job because you guys had to skate so much and you know, start with the trainers and all that kind of nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, hockey's all I knew. I think just when you leave home and just kind of was lucky enough to play it. Yeah, hockey is just kind of everything. Took me a while, probably the 5 or 6 years into your pro career, you start seeing like the older guys actually have a life and yeah. A wife, and maybe some kids. They go golf. You know, like when I first got in the league, I was like, you know, you'd rush home and like have a 4-hour nap and then make sure you're home for bed, you know, all that stuff. But me and Vinny were very like nervous to do anything wrong. And we had Torts as a coach, which had us even more nervous to, you know, to do some of that stuff. So guys like Andrew Check, you know, they really helped to kind of show you that you can relax and have some fun away from the guys.
When you went off to school with Vinny, and like, you know, I guess you're a little undersized, ended up being a third round pick somehow, but with him going first overall a few years later, was it evident already to you though that this guy is like an enormous talent? Was the scouting world already talking about him as a potential first overall pick in 98, or was he late?
No, when we were in Notre Dame, there was no social media, there was no nothing. Everybody was going to be first overall, right? Like we played every guy from Saskatchewan is going to be the next great. So like everybody was awesome. But he went to, at 16, he went to the Quebec League, and like in the first month and a half, he just took off and he started dominating as a 16-year-old. And that's when,
okay,
you know, everything kind of happened. And then, I stayed in Notre Dame. And then that's when, he called me the next year. Rimouski's like, there's this, your buddy out there. Would he come? And so he played a 16-year-old year. I played tier two out there, and then I went my 17-year-old year. And then we got drafted in the NHL that same year, which, you know, I think helped Tampa. Tampa was at every game and watching him, and then I was their second pick.
One of the things he basically had to become your translator as one of the talking
points?
Early on,
it was nice to have someone speak English. I actually went and billeted with a French family. And like 4 months in, I was like starting to understand everything. It was great. I was dreaming in French by like year two.
Really? Was that just being around it?
Yeah, just the French girls talking to him in the hallways at school, telling me they're going to fucking suck him off in the bathroom.
I wish I could say I went to school in Rumushkiva. That'd be a lie.
That's awesome.
Richie, did you have more culture shock going to Saskatchewan or to Quebec? You know, being from the
Saskatchewan was crazy. Yeah, if you don't know much, Notre Dame back then too. Like, we didn't. There was no janitors. We did all the jobs. There's no kitchen staff. The students did everything.
Oh wow.
And if you didn't, if you read a line, you did. It was called a workout at night, like 10 o'clock, and the 12 grade 12 guys would, you know, you'd be doing push-ups and sprints, and if your bed wasn't made, you know, all this stuff. So it was a culture shock for sure. But once hockey started, it was, you know, it was fine, because then we were just playing hockey every day, and that's where you're comfortable. But yeah, it was a shock to the system out there.
Was it true that, like, Le Cavalier had a little something to do with Tampa taking you? I know they didn't have a second-round pick that year, but something about him saying, like, listen, you got to get this guy next pick in the third round?
I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how much he taught. But like I said, Phil Esposito was running it. Tony, they were at so many games of ours because of Vinny. They had the, you know, they knew they were probably going to be first or second overall pick. So it definitely didn't hurt that, you know, they got to see me. I was playing left wing with Vinny at the time, and I think it was just kind of like everybody was watching him. They thought I was just going to ride in coattails, and you know, so it was good that they saw me enough to take a shot at me.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. Like, 115 points, the same amount as Le Cavalier. Did you talk to other teams? Did you go to the combine?
Or like, how did you not get picked in the second round?
I think Le Cavalier was cock-blocking him, making sure he was going to the Lightning.
He's like, I should have 150 points. This guy's slowing me down.
No, it was weird. I was trying to figure out what else you could do, but it was just hard. Yeah, I think, you know, I think they just thought they wanted to wait to see how I'd be when Vinny wasn't around. But yeah, it was. I was smaller. I didn't grow quite as quick. But like I said, I got a shot. I didn't talk. I think I talked to Toronto and maybe San Jose. That was it at the draft, going into the draft.
So. And there was no talk. I mean, I think you ended up playing your overage year, did you not, for Rimouski?
No, I played 18, 19, like the 2 years after the draft.
Okay,
yeah.
and then you signed, and then right to the NHL. That must have how hard was that jump? But, I mean, you ended up leading the team in scoring. I know the team wasn't that great that year, and you guys struggled. You ended up changing coaches from Steve Ludzik to John Steve Tortorella, Ludzik. And we're going to get to him. But how hard was that going from junior right to pro?
Yeah, I think obviously lucky to be drafted to a team that, like, needed young guy, like, you know, if you get drafted by Detroit at that time, I'm probably in the minors for 4 or 5 years, and who knows what happens, right? But I got thrown right into the fire. I was on the power play the first week, and it was just like sink or swim. There wasn't a lot of options down there. You know, it was kind of, you know, the budget, everything was a little messy. Torts took over, and kind of we got the ship kind of going a little more professional, and we had, you know, he just changed the whole culture. He went very young, and he had us like, our training camps were like Navy SEAL boot camps, and, you know, we kind of changed the whole narrative of how to be a pro, and all of a sudden we weren't a laughing stock anymore. And it was just, you know, it was kind of him and his management team that kind of, this can't be a golf destination for guys that want to come down and retire, you know.
Had you had a coach like Torts before?
No, or since.
was he making you make your bed again, or you had late night workouts just like high school?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
he made him go do the classes he didn't do in high school. He's like, "Fuck off, you're going to school too."
Yeah.
Is it Dubinsky said pray for the Flyers? I saw that came out already.
but there has been comments from him that he regrets the way that he handled your guys' relationship. And I'm sure since then you guys have mended, and you can maybe laugh about it now. But, like, can you go to any, like, stories maybe in detail as to, like, why it was so toxic at some points? Like,
him to say that is, like...
And the fact that you were the Conn Smythe winner the year you guys won the Cup, you think that, if anything, he'd be playing tummy sticks with you.
It was all in New York. It got... You know, I went to New York because of him. You know, he was the whole reason. I mean, I didn't know the team. I knew Lundqvist was great, but they were kind of... I didn't know the Dubinskys and Callahans and some of these guys, Ryan McDonough, like, I didn't know how good they were. I played out in Dallas. You'd see them once a year or whatever. And, you know, Gabby was there, but he's like, we're close, and, you know, it'd be a great spot to play, and I'm glad I did it. And we made a couple runs there. But the lockout year, the half a lockout year. It was a mess. I was struggling. I'm not going to lie to you. And it made it, you know, it makes it harder when, you know, he got me there and I got a lot of money because of it. And then you're struggling. It's New York. And it just, you know how it is. You just get in your own way out there. And then it just got weird. I wasn't 21 anymore. So I would question some stuff maybe that I didn't when I was younger. And, I still think he's a great coach, and it just, you know, sometimes it got a little heated, but, you know, we've talked since, it's not perfect, but we've talked and rehashed, all the good times we had and the good things we've done together. And I played a lot of hockey under Torts and we won a Stanley Cup. So
you seem pretty calm. I couldn't imagine many fuck you matches going on with Torts in the office. Would you clear his desk or something?
Yeah, no, he would want, he welcomed that. Yeah. He wanted like a fuck you match all the time. That's not, I don't have that in me to a coach, you know, to go like that, Adam, but you know, he wanted you in there to challenge him. Sometimes he liked that. He wanted some confrontation as long as you went out and, you know, he loved you coming in and asking for more. Why did you bench me? I need more. You know, he'd love that. And he'd throw you right back out. And then, but you had to prove it real quick. But he gave you that opportunity. He did it. He did that with Marty, Vinny too. You know, he challenged Vinny in the locker room. He took his jacket off to try to fight him.
What did Vinny say? Was he speaking in French?
No, I'm all set, dude. You know,
Vinny stood up, and then Andrzejczyk got in between it. But that was before we won the Stanley Cup. That was, yeah. Again, he was trying to change the culture down there, and that's just Torts. He would think that's normal, and I'm going to make him better if we fight. You know,
he checked the tee time sheet. He fucking saw that the boys had a foursome lined up after practice.
Checking Old Memorial. He's like, who the fuck's playing today? What would you say, like, yeah, like, it obviously is a culture change, and you went through it. So what are some examples, or if you can even think of any, that like he'll bring to Philly? Is it more about just, like, every single day of practice, like, there can be no passengers in terms of effort-wise in skates, day of games, after games? It's like basically that's kind of how he approaches a culture change?
Yeah, detail, like just every little detail. Meetings start 10 minutes early. Yeah, like, yeah. You're on. You're not, you're prepared. You're there a lot earlier. You're getting your workouts. I remember when he took over our first year in Tampa, it was like January or something, and we had like 5 games left in the season, and we were one of the worst teams. And all of a sudden, like, we're doing testing. He didn't care about the games. We were doing 3-mile runs.
Oh,
for
God.
Time, and we were doing 15 laps 3 times for time, and then 3 laps 6 times for time, like in between games. And we didn't know what he was doing, but he was just getting all our times. And then he sent us a letter, okay, here's your times, you better be way better when you get to training camp. We're going to be doing all this first 3 days of training camp. So like from August 1st, that's all we thought about was how are we going to beat these times, you know. And it was his way of like, you know, you guys aren't in shape. You're not even close to being in shape to play against the best in the NHL. Like, you know, so little stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the next couple of training camps, you know, that's all we did. It was like, you know, I remember I played with Marty a lot. Our line, I'd be chasing Marty around at 3 laps times 6. So, you know, you better make sure you're ready to go if Marty's doing 3 laps behind him. So we kind of just kept pushing each other. We would get off to really good starts, and that kind of fed Torts even more. Like, look how good our starts are. We're in great shape. So it just kind of took a life of its own. So a lot of video, a lot of details in video and stuff like that too.
Where had he come from? Was that his first NHL head coaching experience then?
Head coach, yeah. He did a little bit in New York as an intern. He took over at the end of one of the years. I don't know. It was Muckler or someone like that.
But he wasn't known yet as Torts, right? Like, that was kind of the beginning.
No, he was quieter. He started in Buffalo way back, like when McGildy and...
Oh, yeah, he had a mustache, too, that was unreal. I've seen a picture of it.
And Brad, talking about that team and when you guys went on to win the 04 Cup, I think you're quoted as saying just the team morale in general was at the all-time high, your funnest year of hockey. Obviously, Torts has done his job in changing that culture, even to the point where I heard that he had you guys staying in the Tampa hotel all together during the entire run where you guys were away from your families. Is that the case?
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of us didn't have families, so that probably... And then maybe a few guys that had families wanted to be in the hotel.
Yeah. They were the ones asking to do it.
Oh, for I remember, Christ. Like, we were the, like, me and Vinny lived downtown, we were 23 years old. We were like so pissed. And he said, we got to stay in the hotel. Like, why? We have nothing. Like, we got a house right over here, or condo right over here, like 2 minutes away. Why do we have to go here? But it ended up being so much fun. I think he wanted to get guys away from kids. If everybody's healthy at home and, you know, and wife can keep the house going or whatever, like, get everybody down here and we'll focus. They put a bunch of, like, you know, we had golden tea and ping pong game. We had all this stuff in the room, and we just, yeah, we'd watch other games and we just kind of hang out there, and we'd practice. He did it, never done it like that before, but we'd practice on the off days at 4 o'clock. So you'd get all day, you'd have you at home all day, and then you get in at 4, you practice from like 5 to 6:30, and then walk across and have dinner, and you're in for the night.
Oh, really? And, yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it was, yeah, I don't know. We did it in Tampa, and no one's ever done it since.
I got to experience a year with Andre Waugh, who's one of the funniest people of all time. I'm sure you can attest to that. He told me a hilarious story of something he pulled off on the flight back. I think after you guys, after a tough loss, right? Story. Well, yeah. Can you just kind of fill everyone in on that?
It was a Philly series, which was an unbelievable series, went seven, and no one could win two games in a row. And we had a tough loss. We won game three, and then we could have like went up 3-1 going home, whatever. They tied it 2-2 and it went into overtime or something. I remember the plane was sitting out in the heat, and it was like 92 degrees in early June or late May, one freak day in Philly. And the plane was like ready to go, and then we went into overtime, so they or something, or like whatever happened, and they shut the plane down. It was really hot, and one of the stewardess, we get there, and one of the stewardess just goes down. She just passes out like in heat as we're trying to get the food going, and it's just a scramble, and we're trying to get food because we just got off the ice, and Andre puts her apron on, but that's it. He's just totally naked in his apron. And he goes right to the front of the plane to serve all the food to the GM and coaches. That's where he went. He just went right up there like that. And it obviously changed the whole mood of the flight home, and we ended up winning game five, win the series. But yeah, he had no, he was hilarious. Oh, you know, there's so many stories. Oh, the stuff I would never be able to tell.
No, exactly. That was the
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
And she'd come back and look. He's just constantly doing dumb stuff like that.
I think he stole all the Pittsburgh Penguins socks, or maybe he went into Tampa's locker room when he was with the Penguins. And then that same road trip, I mean, much like the flight attendant, he put on the secure. So he skated in warm up, but he was a healthy scratch that night. So when he took his gear off, he went into the security office room because he knew where everything was in the Tampa rink. And he put one of the security guard outfits on. And after Therrien walked out as the coach to go to the ice, he was there giving the guys knuckles in line.
No, and he was like pretending he was on like the phone, like, on like the earpiece of people. Oh, I remember that. It was so good.
You mentioned it, and there was also quoted you saying that Dave Anderchuk was one of the guys who really taught you to have fun off the ice and really enjoy the game. Like, what are some stories about him? Because, you know, we're a little bit younger where we don't hear about these legends and some of the things that they brought to the rink.
Yeah, they really made you, like, I've never seen a guy love being at the rink so much, like, and love just everything about being a hockey player. And that's kind of that's how they came into the league. You know, I mean, I don't feel like I'm that old, but like we would leave practice to go to the plane, and he'd make sure we had to stop at this place called the Houlihan's, and it'd be like 10 buckets of Bud Lights sitting there waiting for us, like 45 minutes before the plane's going. But we had to stop, and, you know, he had to get some Bud Lights and wings before we get on the plane to play cards. And then, you know, you'd land and he wouldn't even open his bag. He's just at a happy hour somewhere. You know, just, and, you know, not everybody would go, but he didn't care if you came around, but he'd always invited everybody and you know, have a dinner or whatever. And he just kind of made you relax. And he was like the big brother, fun uncle type of guy on the team. And he was the first guy, the best story I ever tell about Dave, Torts separated me and Vinny when we were roommates when we were young, and Torts separated us because I don't know, we were up to something, or maybe we were struggling on the ice, and I'm separating. Dave had his own room and Tim Taylor had his own room, so they were mad because Torts goes, Vinny's going with you, Tim, and Richie's going with Dave. And he was so pissed because he had his own room. We flew to Atlanta after a back-to-back in Tampa. We flew to Atlanta, and he doesn't even take his suit off. He's like, I'll wake you up for breakfast. I don't want you asking any questions. I'm not really happy about this situation. I'm a roommate. I'll wake you up for breakfast. Don't ask any questions. See you later. So like literally at like 3:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning, you know, if you're in a hotel room, it's dark, you can see everything, but they can't see anything. They're coming in from the light, and it just this big monster's coming in, like, and I can tell he's going to hit the armoire where the TV is. So I just kind of turn the light on, and he just snaps. Hey, back to bed. I'll wake up. Like, all right. And I'm like 21 years old. So like so 21, I would sleep till 9:30 sometimes, you know, like, so after a game, especially. And literally like 6:45, I get the tap. He's already showered. He's got a coffee like this big. He's got crossword puzzles going. And he's like, let's go to breakfast. And I'm down there like half asleep, 3 hours, way too early. Like I got way more sleep. And I'm over at the rink with him. And I'm like, what are you? This guy's an animal. He might have slept 3 hours. And he was first guy morning skate. He stays on, work on everything. You know, he'd sit out there and tip pucks with you and work on stuff. And just an animal. And, you know, over 600 goals and showed up every night.
Sounds like Chris Chelios, a vet, eh?
There's no bigger sign of an old school NHL vet that loved his beers than crossword puzzles. They all fucking did crossword puzzles. Half of them can't even read, but they can do a crossword
Dennis
puzzle.
Dennis Bombi, one of the dumbest guys I know. No offense, Bones, but he would be doing them and he would crush them. He would do them in like 10 minutes.
I know.
Okay, before we move along here, we're going to check in with our pals at Sling TV, because Sling TV has something for everyone. All your favorite shows on your favorite channels, all right at your fingertips. What you watch is up to you. It really just depends on what kind of mood you're in. So if you're looking for sports, Sling's got you covered with pro and college basketball and football, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, racing, and so much more. You're feeling adventurous? Explore thousands of movies and shows on demand. What kind of mood are you in? No matter what you answer, Sling has what you need. And getting Sling is easy. Sign up and start watching in just 5 minutes. You can stream on any device and record up to 50 hours with included DVR space. And the best part is you can pause or customize your subscription at any time. So check out sling.com for special offers. Sling, the TV you love for the price you love. Try us today.
Yeah, I had a great Andrew Chuck story. My brother was a trainer in Boston, and every year before the season, he'd go and he'd buy the entire staff brand new suits. He would just take care of guys like the trainers. Yeah. Did he do that in
He's
Tampa
awesome.
Too?
No yeah. way, really.
Trainers, yeah, just all that stuff. He just loved. He just learned so much of what you know, how much fun it is to be an NHLer. Because sometimes you get all worked up and stressed out. But he just loved being around everything. There's one guy that one guy Dave always says that met my match for beer drinking. He couldn't beat Lyle Oldline. And
Jesus! We all experienced that.
That was the only guy that he said the only guy.
Yeah, you don't want to get sucked in for lunch.
I got an Odeline lunch before my first NHL training camp turned into dinner, and the next day I puked and popped my blood vessel in my eye and met Mario Lemieux. That's what Lyle Odeline did to me. He's like, this young defenseman, fuck him, I'm going to cripple him.
Back to Andrew Chuck, would he be the one holding court and just telling all these old school stories when you guys would go for buckets of beers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had all that stuff. Card games, yeah, he always had. You know, he played with some great players too. He played in Colorado, played in Boston with Bork, Jersey. I was a huge Dougie Gilmore fan back in Canada in the early 90s. Remember they made that run, the Leafs? So you get all those stories. It was fun. And Wendell Clark, you know, all the, you know, as a Canadian kid, the Leafs were on TV every night. So hearing all those stories. So it was great. He had, he had tons of. I mean, he played with our assistant coach, Greg Ramsey. They played together in Buffalo, so like, he had all the. He was old.
Wasn't his nickname Wood because of the way he skated? Didn't they call him Wood? I remember an old Sports Illustrated article.
Maybe
someone.
I'll take up the old article.
Can we just pretend his nickname was Wood for the sake of the podcast?
I never heard it once.
Another moment in that Cup run. I'd ask about was you went. You went into Calgary game six, and they had the chance to win it, right, at home. And I think
they did win it.
St. Louis, yeah, well, that, Flames fans, right, Jelen, I guess, did score. But take me through, like, the team's vibe before that game. Was it kind of even loose in the locker room? Was it uptight? Just, like, the pressure being in Canada with the cup in the building. And obviously, you guys go on to win two in a row. But do you remember pregame in terms of that game six?
Yeah, I remember the night before we had team dinner, and we were pretty nervous. Yeah, it was. We played so bad at home.
Yep.
At game five and game one, I don't know what we were doing. Game five, we were awful. So we kind of felt like maybe we got the awful out of us. So we give ourselves a better chance. But you know, they were ready to celebrate, the whole town. But I think that probably helped us. They probably played a little tight too. So. But it was, yeah, that was a tough plane ride, 5.5-6 hours after, you know, losing home ice. Now you win that, you get two chances to win the cup, and now all of a sudden you got to go to Calgary. So that was tough. But Dave, I'm sure Dave, you know, I think we were having kokanee beers the night before. We were trying to find the little guy on the mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
They have them hidden in there. Yeah,
yeah.
So Dave changed it up to kokanee that night and switched the mojo.
Oh, I love that. Now, like, did you have any clue that you were going to win the Conn Smythe? Were you as shocked as you know, maybe some people? Like, I mean, 7-game winners. I mean, you probably should have been. But how'd you feel after that?
Yeah, I think you know, a winning team and. I think I was me and Marty. Maybe we're going into the series like leading the league or whatever. So or Iggy was probably in there too. So you knew whoever was going to win. And then, but I, you know, it could have went to Javi Bulin very easy too. Like he was so good for us. So yeah, at that point you're just celebrating the ice and they say your name. You don't even know what to do. No one ever remembers. Like I was like. I don't remember anybody. Like, what do you do with it? Do you go like this?
Andrew Trump's like, put a beer in there.
I just went and put it on the bench, and I was like, what? I don't know what to do with this. I mean, it's an honor, but you just couldn't wait to see the actual cup. So,
thanks for saving my awful question with a great little line there.
Where was the cup party after that summer when you had your day with the cup?
I had it back in home. I live so remote. I got both times. I was lucky. I got 48 hours with it because the way the connections of the flights and
Pearson, they went through Pearson. Yeah. Cup got lost.
I heard. I saw a headline. You had a rough trip up there.
Yeah, I changed the country though.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I did. We had it out in the fishing boat. We did a parade in the town, party at the rink I grew up on with a band, and you know.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3CHI.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Oh, just like you got a yellow one that was really weird, like burnt yellow.
Albino?
Yeah, it's just probably like a pigmentation. I don't know.
Yeah, genetic thing. You ever see one? It's like half red and half white. It's like split right down the middle. Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty wild.
It's just a weird, maybe all the pollution in the ocean now.
Yeah.
Just doing something.
Yeah.
I mentioned the Conn Smythe, Richie. Is that something you even think about during the playoffs? Or you just kind of hear your name called and like, oh shit, I won the Conn Smythe. Because, I mean, you know, Javi Bulin and Marty had terrific.
You just answered this.
Well.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was.
Yeah.
I was looking up the article that Dave Enderchuk was called what?
You better think of a fucking better answer or we're going to come over the table here, you fucker.
Well, I guess in the same vein, and I mentioned to the guys before, and I doubt you remember, but the night you guys won the cup, that was the first time I crashed the light and Stanley Cup party. And I don't know how I got back in the building, and you were sitting there with Marty and his buddy Phil from UVM, and I stumbled over. And again, I wouldn't expect to remember 18 years later, but
you remember the drunk guy who snuck in the locker room.
Yeah,
right?
Didn't we get you arrested?
I would have remembered that accent.
Yeah, it might have sounded a little different after 24 beers.
Oh, well, we chucked you in a dumpster. Yeah, I got out.
Andrew Chuck's like, go get me a bucket of beers, you drunken fool.
I remember we walked. I wouldn't remember much. I remember me and my buddies from home walked home from the rink at like 8:30 in the morning. That's when we finished the night. We were walking, and it was like 90 degrees in Tampa. And I had my game jersey over my suit, walking across the street to go back to Harbor Island. And I remember like sweating bullets. And then I went on this show called The Cold Pizza. Remember Cold Pizza? Oh, yeah, ESPN. Yeah. I went on that, and I could tell the guy was just didn't want me talking. He was cutting me off. The show ended really quick.
Did you ever get to go when you played in New York? Did you ever do one of those late night shows like Dave Letterman or something?
No, never did.
No, no, you didn't have.
I watched some stuff, but I never. Lundquist, he hogged all the late night shows.
Missile. Was there anything else you guys want to talk about as far as the cup run and that whole experience?
Yeah, I mean, right after it, he got rewarded with a flight to AK Bars Kazan.
Oh, the lockout year.
Yeah. What was
that? You went over there?
What was that all
me
about?
And Vinny, me and Vinny went over there just as an adventure, like let's try this out. But it was hilarious. I ended up getting hip surgery. Like, I was only over there for like 6 or 7 weeks, but Vinny stayed the rest of the year. But
good cash though.
Yeah, that, good cash.
Yeah.
Good cash.
So for those of you who probably like we went pretty quick there. So the next year after you guys won the cup was the lockout year. You ended up going the full season. So you got hip surgery in the off season, and then Vinny obviously, like most cases, talked you into coming somewhere or vouched for you.
Yeah.
So tell us how the whole situation went down and maybe some wild experiences that you went through in Russia, because we get guys from the KHL on, and I think it was still called the Super League back then. Yeah. And probably ran by a mob boss.
Yeah, it was all oil. Yeah, I mean, Javi Bulin was on the team. There's a bunch, Kovalchuk, Kovalev. So it felt like an NHL team. Like, there was a lot of Ruslan Soleil, Antropov.
Nick, I'm looking at this roster.
Yeah, so Freddie Brathwaite was...
I heard he's got a huge rope. That's the only one that I know.
Well, he asked me... So, I'm not going to quote that or not, but he asked me, he goes, me and Vinny, we went to get our physicals when we got there. And he goes, let me know when you get to the last doctor, what he does. He goes, it's the weirdest thing. Let me know. Like, call me when you're done. So we had the last doctor, and the guy's like an 80-year-old Russian. And we stand in the room, and he just tells us to take our pants off. And we turn around and we put our pants back on. We have a translator, and I still don't know what he was doing. So Freddie goes, did he make a team? He goes, oh, good. He said, I thought he was just doing it because it's me and you want to see a black guy. Yeah. It was like a real doctor. And I'm like, what? The doctor experience there, like the needles, the needles were the size of your pinky, how thick they were. It was an interesting place.
Was there
for sure.
Was there a particular straw that broke the camel's back? You're like, all right, this is it. I'm fucking out of here. Like, this is too much.
Yeah, no, I didn't go over there hurt. I it was getting worse and worse, and they kept saying, well, we're gonna give you these needles and we're gonna do this. And I was like, no, can I go see my doctor? Like, go back. And you know, we weren't allowed to go see our trainers or anything during the lockout, but you know, we just went to the Tampa doctor and he sent me somewhere. He's like, yeah, you gotta get this fixed. So Vinny was kind of upset that I didn't come back, but I think Danny Heatley might have taken my spot as one of the Canadian. Like, you're allowed 2 or 3 imports or something.
So
at least Vinny had a buddy.
Somebody told us a story on the podcast where they saw Vinny during his time there, and he was like, "Get out of here!"
Like, he saw a ghost.
Yeah, he's like, "Buddy, you got. Do you remember who it was, G?" Okay, we had somebody on. They told the story, but definitely some rough experiences over there. And hey, them trying to talk you into taking vitamins every day might not be a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Casperitis. Maybe was it Casper?
Casper was on the team too. So they took good care of us. That was a good. Like, all the NHL guys really took good care of us because we went over there. They made sure, you know, don't have a passport on your. If you're out in town, like, giving us a little, make sure you don't have a wallet, you know. Jesus. Yeah. Even the cops would take it, and you have to pay them to get it back.
Oh, yeah. That's fucked. Halfway through the 07-08 season, though, I think it probably became evident Tampa wasn't going to be able to re-sign you, or maybe you wanted to hit free agency and you got traded. So how did that all kind of come about? Was it hard for you? You know, after the time with Vinny and Marty and winning the cup, and I think there was a couple of lean years coming up for the Lightning, but what was your kind of whole attitude going into that season with 1 year left before free agency?
Well, I signed a 5-year deal, and it was 2 years into my 5-year deal.
Oh, no shit. When,
and we had the, our owner sold the team. They sold it to Orm Kulis and Lynn Berry. I don't know if you remember those guys.
Yeah.
And they wanted to, you know, they traded Boyle. They just wanted, trade everybody that was making any kind of money except for Vinny Marty, I guess.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
My bad. I that's my fault. I didn't know that. So that must have been kind of upsetting then, right? With kind of the base you had there and the success when they finally told you that? Or was it more like with this new ownership, all right, I guess if this is the case, I'm done.
No, it was, yeah, I knew that everything was going to change. You know, everybody was going to get fired, and yeah, you could tell that all that was coming. But it was tough to leave Vinny and Marty and Danny Boyle. Like, you know, we grew up together down there. So yeah, it was a bummer. First time, I guess the only time I got traded, but it was, it's tough when you win a Stanley Cup with guys you've been there for 7 or 8 years. It's, yeah, it was a bummer, but Dallas was a lot of fun and met some great guys, played with some great guys there.
Okay. Before we go any further, here's a word from our very good friends at Labatt. As you're likely aware by now, Spittin' Chicklets has partnered with Labatt to make Big Deal Brewing, and we couldn't be happier about this. The golden ale we'll be dropping is two things. It's delicious and it's crushable. And it's also going to be your favorite new beer when hockey season kicks off. And this isn't something boys just said yes to. No, we sampled the beers. We gave feedback. We made sure this is a beer we will all drink. We tried it out. We okayed it. We loved it. You're going to love it. And boy, you're going to love it because it's damn good. And you're going to look for it this fall. Big Deal Brewing coming to you soon. But in the meantime, please do enjoy a Labatt, the pristine Canadian Pilsner. Share a Labatt.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guy who played there, Steve Ott, he's a guy who seems to have some colorful stories about him as well. Any adventures with him? Laughing already.
Yeah, he's an interesting cat. He battled for you, that's for sure. He'd do anything out there. But some nights you just need earplugs. Like, just he was starting to bother his own team. He was chirping so much. And then we put him and Aves. Him and Aves together for 20 games or whatever it was just like chaos.
Hey Brad, I'll never forget a game in Boston. There was like the biggest gong show they might have had that year. You guys had it was like Avery and Ott got kicked out. It was a disaster. I imagine you saw a bunch of that.
Madano said to the media after, "I'm gonna get an office job if this is what we're gonna do every game." it was just a complete gong show.
Avery was obviously a different animal in some of the stuff he would say. Was that the year that there was kind of a falling out and he ended up making those comments publicly in Calgary?
Yeah, Holly was the co-GM and knew him from Detroit and brought him in. And, Sean left New York. He didn't want to be in, like, he got there and he just wasn't a Dallas guy. And then those two winding each other up, Otter and Aves. That was a recipe for a disaster there. So, yeah, he lasted, I think it was like November, right? Late November or something. He was gone.
Yeah, that was a quick rip. Now, going back to St. Louis or Ott, because I would imagine at some point Ott does get a head coaching job. Could you see either of those guys coaching when they were done?
Definitely Marty, yeah. Marty was, you know, that's just how he played. You know, you get back from every shift and he's going over everything. And what did you see here? Like, he just loved it. You know, where Vinny was totally opposite. Vinny didn't watch hockey. He just didn't want to talk about hockey. He just show up and play. You know, there's two different animals. But Marty, you could tell, I knew. I just talked to Marty all the time. He's been trying to get back in coaching for a while now. But I think, it was a great opportunity in Montreal. So go back to his hometown. Otter, Otter's a rink rat like that too. But I didn't see the coaching part in Otter like he did Marty. Marty was all into it.
After Dallas, you end up coming here to New York, signed as a free agent. Now, you mentioned Torts was the reason you come here. What was the other allure about coming to Manhattan to play?
Money.
Other than the cash.
All the cash they sent into his bank account.
Duffel bags of dough.
I think original six team, New York City, obviously. Playing in Tampa and Dallas, it's kind of like I went through an ownership bankruptcy in both places, and it's kind of like, you know, we missed the playoffs 3 years around Dallas, and I'd like to go somewhere where we have a stable ownership and play in original six city, and so it was a little closer to the East Coast, for mom and dad. So it was just great, a lot of fun. And, you know, it, like I said, we came up short, but, you know, two good runs, one LA run, lost like two double overtime games in the finals and an overtime game. So you'd think you'd win one of those maybe, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I remember that free agency. You were the number one guy that everyone was looking for, and it was, I'm pretty sure it came down to the Leafs and the Rangers. Were you close to going to
actually more
Leafs
LA?
It would have been
LA. Yeah, it would have been LA or New York, the way it wasn't working out in my mind. But and then LA won two cups, so and beat us.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you wouldn't have been a Leaf. You wouldn't have went to Toronto.
I would say Leafs would have been like fourth. I remember Tampa, Stevie Y talked to me, and they didn't have a lot of cap space, but like that was kind of an allure to go back and play with Marty and Vinny again. And but in the end, it was just more like original six. New York was, you know,
making sure the checks were going to clear.
Everybody says, you know, if you can play at MSG, why not? So, and it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience.
Brett, I've asked other players who've been on both sides of the Stanley Cup. Does the sting of losing register worse than the joy of winning it?
I think my situation is maybe a little different. I won,
right?
You know, 10 years before, and then you lose. It stings for sure, but I can't imagine if I hadn't won how it would have felt. So I think lucky enough to win one before you lose in the final, I think would probably help it a little bit. Although, you know, it did. Winning in New York would have been pretty epic. That's still, you know, I still think about that all the time because I got lucky and got back the next year to Chicago. But it was there, you know, I was there for 1 year, New York, and I was there longer and kind of knew the team more. But yeah, that the New York thing, it's fine, but you just always wonder what kind of celebration, what kind of parade, you know, all that stuff in New York City, how cool that would have been. Because Chicago was pretty epic and a lot different than winning it in Tampa. I love Tampa. It was a lot of fun, but you know, going to an old school original six city and the parade in Chicago was crazy. The amount of people that showed up,
it was nuts.
Yeah, because the Rangers bought you out, which you probably pissed at the time, but it ended up sort of being a blessing in disguise, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the writing was on the wall coming to that lockout with the before my contract's over, the cap hit goes some crazy. I don't know, whatever. Remember, you could sign those long. I signed a 9-year deal. There was no way I was gonna. You know, I probably would have played 6 years. And that's kind of how it's structured. I was 31, 32 at the time. So so once we came out of that lockout and they gave you two free buyouts or if you retired, you screwed the team. So you kind of knew it was coming. So, but that's life.
And like with the career you'd had, I mean, yeah, it'd been a couple tough years in New York, but you must have had a bunch of other options when you ended up going to Chicago as well, right? Like, did you see they already had the two cups and it was pretty evident you wanted to be there? Was that another tough decision to make?
No, you know what? There was some other teams, and then Chicago called like a day or two before, and I was like...
Whether you're tossing the ball around with buddies or picking off passes like a pro, Optimum Nutrition can help unlock more you. Tackle your recovery with Gold Standard 100% Whey, which has 24 grams of high-quality protein per serving and more than 15 delicious, easy-to-mix flavors. Put the world's number one to the test. Available at stores nationwide and online at OptimumNutrition.com. Euromonitor International Limited. Consumer Health 2023 Edition and custom research conducted February to March 2023. Retail sales of whey protein powder in 2022.
Oh. You know, you just lost in the finals and you kind of got the itch again. Like it had been 10 years in between finals and Chicago just lost LA in game 7 overtime, you know, and they're obviously their core's ready to win again. So it was just like, I was just told my agent, like, make this work. Like,
yeah.
I know it's only 1 year, but let's try to make this work. This will be a pretty cool experience. So.
Was it a big adjustment for you, kind of, you know, when you were in Tampa, obviously one of the stars of the team, and then Chicago, I guess, you know, a bit more of a role player. Was that an adjustment, or you would just find a take whatever job?
I mean, getting older, but you're playing with Patrick Kane, and I don't really think that's a bad deal.
Right,
And then, you know, you just being around some of those players is great. Like I did, I always knew how good Hossa was, but to be with him every day, crazy how good he was and how like strong he was on pucks and how much he battled defensively. Little stuff like that. You always think of him as Hossa scoring a bunch of goals. So, you know, being around Duncan Keith was you know, that year he won the Conn Smythe. I had no idea he was that good.
Yeah.
He was crazy out there, and they were all, I mean, they all eat perfect. They love and breathe, eat hockey. And, you just tell, like, it didn't really matter anything that was going on during the regular season. They were just waiting for the playoffs to start, and they just turned it into another gear. And it was a lot of fun, total different experience of, you know, Tampa. We were all young and kind of dumb and naive, doing it for the first time, but that was I was kind of a methodical machine in Chicago. You just knew that they're going to give themselves a chance to win.
And you had a pretty good run that playoffs. I want to say, what, 15 points? And then probably the famous one of the Kane point when you ended up setting them back. How did you not shoot that fucking puck, man? How did you not shoot that?
He's a dish.
I was trying to. I wanted to get one more contract out of Chicago. I figured if I gave Kane or the empty netter, maybe they'd fit me in.
Well, hey, but then you end up getting offered more from Detroit.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Kaner. I never knew that was going to Kaner at some point. I just had to wait long enough to freeze Bishop, but that was a lot of fun. Awesome. Kaner's an awesome, awesome guy. Another guy that I had no idea before I got there, but what a great human being he is.
And then in Detroit, you got to play with a couple legends there. I know it was toward the tail end of the careers, Zetterberg and Datsyuk. It must have been a cool experience, even though, you know, like I said, it was toward the tail end.
Yeah, I think I remember Zetterberg and I talked at the end of the year. It would have been fun to play with each other when we were 25. Pavel, same thing. You know, they were getting a little older and slower, as was I. So, but still seeing some of the stuff they do. And you know, you just can tell they've been around winning teams. And, they're unbelievable players, that's for sure. They did more in their backhand than most players did on their forehand, those two.
True that. Were you aware that was going to be your last year? And just, like, how hard was it to eventually make the decision to hang them up?
Yeah, I was talking to Anaheim. I had a couple things kind of going, but it was going to be another move. Just about to have our second kid. And it was kind of, I don't know, I just didn't feel like going in and trying to, if I would have went back to Detroit and know the same people, I didn't feel like going in and trying to relearn a locker room coach. It's like for another year, and I was lucky enough to win. And it was just getting to the point. I just felt like I was getting crankier with less playing time. You know, you're just not the same. And, you know, I didn't want to be that guy anymore. And that was it. So went to my wife's Australian. So we packed up and went to Australia for 4.5 months, and it was a perfect way to just shut off hockey.
That's awesome.
Wow. How sick's the golf over there? I heard it's the best in the world.
The Sandbelt is amazing. Yep. It's as good as it gets.
Oh, shit.
They don't do any, like, you know, it's not like here, like, there's no caddy. There's no, like, the service part of the golf is a lot different.
Yeah, there's no amenities, like, but it's just pure golf.
No amenities. It's just pure golf. You pull your own bag and you go in and pay for your tee time and your credit card. You walk out and they give you like 4 balls to hit on the range, and that's about it.
You got
to
go.
There you go.
You got to go retrieve your own ones, put them on a string.
Have at it. And then you got to dodge snakes everywhere. Every golf course hands out a. If you get bit by a tiger snake, if you get bit by a brown snake, don't do this. Don't try to whack it with your club. I guess it can climb up the club and, like, bite your hand and stuff. Like, yeah. So that's only, it's a little scary over there. The amount of things that want to eat you.
Other than golf, what interests you? Like, what do you do now that you're retired to occupy your time?
So I work with a financial firm out of the city called Douglas Winthrop. Try to raise money or create relationships on the golf course, or, you know, doing stuff like that. And, you know, kind of like show them what kind of product it is. And then obviously the people that went to Harvard take over after that. But, I do that. And then, just some little stuff, Untuck It. I started with Untuck It way back in New York, and, it was kind of a small, owner in that. And then we're doing another thing called Greatness Wins right now with Wayne and Jeter. So that's kind of fun to poke around with that stuff. And I'm just kind of little investment business stuff like that, that, you know, nothing crazy, but maybe hit a home run here or there someday down the road.
Yeah, I was going to wear my Untuckit shirt today, but I put it on and it's a little tighter from the Pink Whitney
your
I've been
barrel.
Drinking during the playoffs.
The Untuckit doesn't help a barrel.
I was wondering if you're still involved with that or not.
Yeah. It's cool. He did a great job. It's been fun to see that grow.
And then where are you playing golf? Like in Long Island, are you at National, or did I get that wrong?
Yep, I play out there, National Golf Links.
Oh, what
we'll
a
go
place!
Up, we'll be up there July 1st for the summer with the kids, and
nice.
Then I'll go up to Canada in August, and then back here for school. So yeah, we'll get out of Florida when it's getting really hot here now. All the golf pretty much closes down here, right?
Well, Brad, I think the hockey fans are going to be pumped to hear from you, man. We thank you so much for your time. An incredible career.
Yeah, what a run.
Oh, man. And then, obviously, congratulations and best of luck, everything in your future ventures. And hopefully we bump into you sometime. And who knows, maybe a sandbagger against this guy. Yeah. What do you think?
Witz and I have been trying to figure out golf at some point. We got to figure it out.
Yeah, this summer we got to make it happen. We got to do some home-and-home stuff. But Biz said, man – just an unreal career. It was a pleasure watching you play and playing against you. And I think for a guy who's known as kind of quiet, fans will really enjoy hearing, you know, your side of the story. So thank you.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Big thanks to Richie for joining us a few weeks back for the chat. Awesome fella, man. Great interview. Hopefully you enjoyed it. His interview was also brought to you by Roman. Testosterone affects a lot of aspects of men's fitness and health. From sex drive to muscle and bone mass, the experts believe testosterone plays a huge role in our body's natural function. But men's testosterone starts to deplete with age, which is why it's important you support it early. Roman T-Support is meant to help men maintain their body's natural testosterone production with the proprietary supplement formulated by Roman's in-house doctors. Roman T-Support is not testosterone replacement therapy, and it is not meant to treat people with testosterone deficiency syndrome. So go to GetRoman.com/chicklets to get $15 off your first order of Roman T-Support. That's GetRoman.com/chicklets. One more time, GetRoman.com/chicklets. All right, gang. Well, hopefully you're enjoying our summer as much as you are enjoying these interviews here. But do not forget to check out our Chicklets Cup videos. We had the one from the Big Deal Selects, actually two parts, one and two of the Big Deal Selects. Parts one and two of the Barstool team where Granley showed me up with the hat trick, threw the hat in my face. Good stuff. If you haven't seen it, by all means, check it out. Also, I was on the dog walk this week. We did a little movie draft. Feel free to check that out as well. And again, we dropped a whole bunch of new merch. Gee, what else we got? Am I missing anything?
Yeah, we actually are dropping a behind-the-scenes video from the entire Chicklets Cup. That'll release this Wednesday on the Spittin' Chicklets YouTube channel. Kind of following Merle's around, following yourself around. So we'll kind of just really capture, it won't be, you know, a behind the scenes of business team. It won't be a behind the scenes of the Barstool team. It kind of just captures what the Chicklets Cup really is.
Nice. Looking forward to checking that out. So again, if you haven't seen the previous ones, by all means, check them out or give them another view. But either way, again, hopefully you're enjoying the summer, our summer interview series, and we'll check in with you next week. Have a great week.
The boys will be back next week, R.A. The boys will be back next week.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.